Time to begin our class this morning. Appreciate the presence of each of you. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We're going to try to finish up that chapter or part of it anyway today. Chris is in Chicago, of course, preaching in a meeting. We're going to begin in verse 24 and read to the end. Let us open up with a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, as we gather together this morning, we pray that our hearts might be soft, that we would allow your word to penetrate our hearts and teach us and lead us in the direction in which you want us to go. We want to be men and women like of faith, like we're going to read about here in chapter 11. We pray that you help us to be that way. We also pray, Father, to be with Chris as he's in Chicago and preaching a gospel meeting, kicking it off today. We pray that your word might be spread and hearts might be touched there also. We pray that you keep him safe and bring him back safely. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking with Cindy the last few days about Hebrews 11. The more you read it, the more you realize it is a it is a beautiful chapter, but it spans such a great area of God's Word. You start in Genesis, you know, it starts mentioning characters in Genesis like Abel. And you end up in Revelation. It combines everything together, and it's so full that very difficult to cover the chapter in just 30 minutes or 40 minutes. We'll read beginning in 24. Excuse me. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for a reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish, along with those who were disobedient, after she welcomed the spies in peace. Moses. That was a sign. Moses choosing rather ill treatment. What did Moses have? What did he have going for him at that time in Egypt? He had everything going for him. One of the most powerful countries in the world. The riches of the world, the pyramids, we still see them here if we went to visit. It's just magnificent. He was right up top. But what did he do? What did Moses do? choosing rather, verse 25, to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering, verse 26, the reproach of Christ, Moses, and it says Messiah, he didn't know Jesus as 2,000 years later. He didn't know Jesus. But he knew there was a Messiah, and a Messiah was coming. And he considered that greater riches than the treasures, were true treasures of Egypt. And he was looking forward to that reward. What was that reward? Did he see it or not see it? Says it was unseen. He endured seeing him or Jesus or the Messiah who was unseen. He endured the ill treatment, yet in reality, he physically did not see any of it with his eyes. This is a chapter of faith. That's what faith is all about. Moses considered that reproach as best. It's that same level that we need in our hearts. You're talking about faith. What's faith? It's seeing things we can't see. And how do we do it? Obviously, you can't see it. It's not there. But is it?
Basically, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God would speak to somebody and his forefathers, they believed it. And thus, it was just not a question to them. So that's where the faith is coming from, is God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
That's true.
And what's interesting about Moses here is there's said more. He believed multiple different things. Of course, he believed the Christ, the Messiah, was coming. And so he was willing to leave Egypt and then come back. And then he was willing to do the Passover. And also, he was also willing to go through the Red Sea. So there's, he spoke of as his faith acting numerous times versus all the other folks in there. You know, their faith, and I'm not saying they just did it once, but that's what they're spoken of. Is their faith did something.
That's very good. Verse 1, go back to verse 1. We need to read that again. The faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You just don't see it, but it's there. Had Moses ever walked through the floor of the Red Sea, the bottom? Had he ever done that? Obviously not. Moses saw miracles, but he had never walked through. Can you imagine walking and seeing the walls? Will those walls collapse upon me of water? You had to have faith. He'd never seen that before. He'd never seen it before. But he believed it. Why? He sees other evidence that things happen that you can't see. And you know that they're happening. That's what heaven's all about too. It's the conviction of things not seen. Had Moses ever done it? No. But he believed it. And he walked through with all the people of God. And on the other side, the Egyptians did not believe it. They went through, but they did not have faith. Or they saw them go through, they just followed him. But they didn't have the faith that God was demanding, praise him instead of the Pharaoh of Egypt and set him up as their God. Verse 30 and 31, two more powerful verses by faith. Yes?
Moses, what I think is cool about Moses is that we see his faith come full circle. He did all of these things without seeing in the Old Testament, but then in the New Testament, he is there at the transfiguration of Jesus. So his faith was realized in Matthew chapter 17.
Exactly.
And we can see that whole cycle in that sure. one person.
Very good. Same thing with Rahab. It says by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Rahab, she didn't see the evidence of God. All she saw was a city with great walls, very powerful city of that time. You can't penetrate it. Impossible. It was beyond imagination to say this city is just going to fall. But she knew what was going on with the people of God, and she wanted to cast her lot with the people of God. And did it come out right? Obviously, it came out right. The walls of Jericho fell down without any touching of any hands of mankind at all. It was a faith. It's just faith. You either believe it or not. We'll reference it many more times, but that's what heaven is also. We don't touch it, and we can't see it with our eyes. Jesus came down. He said, I'm from heaven. My Father is there. He spent time upon this earth, and all he talks about, I'm going back to my Father in heaven. You either believe that or you don't. He presented all these miracles. Many people believe the miracles. Most couldn't deny it, but they chose not to follow him. And that's really our choice. We can choose to follow him or not. What stands out the most to you? We've already had a couple of comments in those 24 through 31. Anything else? Any comment? In these few verses. Okay, let's go to verse 32 and read to the end of the chapter. It says, for what more shall I say? The writer of Hebrews. What more? He says, for time will fail me. Isn't that the truth? If I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Why so many references to ill treatment, being stoned, destitute, afflicted? Those few verses right there. Why? Why is he talking about that? Why didn't he just, the Hebrew writer, talk about? Yes, Paul.
Something to bear in mind is the bigger picture of Hebrews. It's a letter written to Christians who, at the first, were solid in their faith, but in the face of ongoing adversity, they started to get weaker. So you see that as a recurring theme in the book of Hebrews of, remember that the people of old went through the same kind of things. Some of them were delivered, some weren't, but they held on to their faith. So should you.
Exactly. Very good comment. Any others? Some of these people of faith, many perished. Some did not. As we read the first part. Some did not perish. Why? Faith is much stronger than this passing world. It just is. Neither life nor death has any impact, as Chris mentioned last week, on our faith. People live, people die. Let's turn over to look at John 11, verses 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is coming up after being dead. And he says, I'm the life. He who believes in me shall live even though he dies. Living even though you die. What is he trying to say here? Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do I believe it? Faith will demonstrate it, won't it? That's faith. Even though I was submitting myself by saying I believe in Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by that statement, they drugged me outside and sawed me in two because of that statement. Did that happen to the people? Was John the Baptist's head cut off because he decided to follow Jesus? All those real things that happened, those are documented in the history books. Those are there. Is our faith strong enough that believing that I will live even though I die? That's really what it's all about, our faith. So I think each of us this morning needs to define what faith means to me as we're reading this chapter. I think in Jesus, he explains it. If we look in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 21, let's turn over there. He helps when he was trying to lead his disciples. In Matthew 16, verse 21, Matthew 16, 21 through 26. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, those who are going to do it, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, of course, Peter was there standing with them. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul. How does that relate to Hebrews 11, what we just read in the scriptures? How does it relate to you personally? How does it relate to me personally? Comment?
To watch their children die, to die, the earthly thing that everybody clings to the last minute of, they were willing to give up because they knew that they were going to be in heaven with God. And so it is a complete sacrifice of everything.
Everything. Very good. Again, I should define what faith means to me. You know, personally, what did having faith mean to Jesus in that context we just read? It meant take up your cross and what? Follow me. That's pretty powerful. Are we willing to take up a cross? That means all the things that might come with a cross. What came with the cross for Jesus? Death. Would we be willing to suffer even to the point of death? Did Peter? Right then he says, no way, you're not going. Stay right here, I'll protect you, everything will be fine. And he called him, Jesus called Peter Satan. Was he Satan? No, he was one of the apostles, and he was just being groomed and treated as one who was going to preach and teach Jesus Christ to mankind and be a writer of 13 books in a New Testament. So he wasn't Satan, but he was acting like Satan because that's what Satan wanted to do. Restrict Jesus, prevent Jesus from doing his mission of mercy, his mission of saving the souls of everyone here on this earth, my soul. So it wasn't Satan, but that is what Jesus was trying to get Peter to see. Your mission is not to prevent, is not to say, I'm going to live on this earth without suffering or being ill-treated because of my faith in you. That's he was trying to get Peter to see that your mission, you will start doing that. Shortly after that, in Acts 2, we start seeing Peter preach his sermon. And just a couple of chapters later, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was dragged about, and eventually, we know that Peter, what happened to him? It was prophesied by Jesus, you will die for me. So Peter, later on, his faith grew much greater than it was at that time. So we say, well, what's the hope for me? Well, the hope for me is develop my faith like Peter was encouraged to do. It takes time. It takes study. It takes reading of God's word. It takes believing. And as we read back in Moses again, it takes believing. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, right? Moses, as seeing him who was unseen. It takes believing things that are unseen. We catch ourselves doing that a lot. But God is love. God is love. You can't see God, but you can see love. You can see the effects of love, but you can see compassion, the effects of it. But it's very difficult for us to understand godliness and a life without God is a life without faith. It just, you have to have faith in something. Otherwise, you're a very temporal person. You just see this world, the passing pleasures of sin, the corruption, the destruction, our houses, our homes. Will they be here 100 years from now? They may be, but constant renovation between now and then. And it doesn't take long for the destruction. Yes, go ahead.
One of the ways that Peter's faith grew over time was his willingness to be corrected by Jesus. At this time, Peter had a really strong opinion that there was going to be a physical kingdom, that Jesus had come to this earth to establish a physical kingdom, and that's what he was working towards. And Jesus corrected him in this comment. He said, "This isn't about what's going on here on earth. It's about what you need to look up. This is about a spiritual kingdom." And Peter messed up several times, but he was always willing to take Jesus' correction. And I think that that's how our faith grows too, is we need to be willing to take Jesus' correction through his word, and our faith can increase like Peter's did.
Very good. I think that correction was, as you mentioned, how many times did Jesus say, "Follow me"? What does "follow me" mean? Jesus, remember, wasn't exactly treated kindly all the time, too. Who did he? He had the Pharisees around him, the elite of the time. And it didn't take very long. They wanted to put him to death. You could see it in the scriptures. It didn't, very shortly after he started preaching, they were ready to stone him and get rid of Jesus. But he offered to all, "Follow me." Jesus wasn't one of the elite of the day. His path was living, started off as a carpenter. I mean, it wasn't of the high officials of the day. The common man, he gathered around fishermen, people that saw the earth and the physical things of the earth, and he said, "Leave that and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." It was just a higher level of thinking that Jesus, and he started with really all mankind, the elite of the day and the people that were of common means. So he gathered all, but it's either you have a choice. You either have a choice of having faith that you want to be with others of like faith that see what they can't see, or you don't. You know, it's really that's the choice that this book, that's why it's such an important book. I was looking at D. Bowman's book this morning. He has 13 chapters of the greatest, maybe you've had a little workbook, 13 chapters he picked in the Bible of the greatest chapters to him, just to him. Number one was Genesis 3. I forgot what number 2 was. Genesis 12, I think. Number 3 was Hebrews 11. And he just made a few comments on that. Hebrews 11 is where really us in this room and all people in this world need to start thinking about our commitment to God, our faith in God. And it's, as I said, it's that transition of all of the Old Testament and the summary or little summary of the whole Testament and what it's all about. They had faith in the unseen. They had faith even though they could even see the Red Sea part. They could not see heaven. And neither do we. We don't know what. We can't see God. It's, do we believe in him or not? We see the effects of God. We see the creation. We see all these things. But isn't that the way it is anyway? When you marry somebody You have love toward them. You know, and all of the things that go along in marriage. But you don't see 50 years ahead of you. You can't see that. You can't live that. You don't know that. You have to have faith that I'm going to marry a person and I'm going to be with them the rest of my life. That's a step of faith. You don't know what's coming up. You don't know all the issues. That's just a little thing of helping us understand faith has got to be something very powerful in our lives. We either accept faith or we don't. Comment?
I think this chapter is also, I mean, there's a cost. You know, we sing the song, Count the Cost. And you have to believe and you have to have faith, but he's teaching there's a cost to it too. You said that a while ago. We have to be willing to put everything aside for God. And Peter had to learn not his way, but God's way. Fair not enough. Our earthly thoughts of what we feel is right. Like, why did Shirley have to pass away? Or why did this happen? Or why does that? That's not for us. That's God's ways. And we have to put our thoughts aside, what we want.
Excellent.
It's a big cost.
Yes.
Who preached 120 years trying to say, help, you know, God said, preach, and to convince people to honor God, but nobody did except his family. And he, as he was building the ark, there was no rain on the earth. How much faith would you have to in God to do exactly what he says, but not see the evidence of that, of why you're doing it? You just trust in God. And I know that Noah must have had friendships because he was living with the world, but yet he was willing to shut, when God shut that door, to leave that all behind.
Very good. These comments are great. Based on what both of you just said, I was trying to figure this out in my mind. And I said, faith requires a deep commitment within my heart that I will believe in God's word and God's promises no matter what, come what may. And I said, it's kind of like Chris mentioned last week. Am I all in? You know, am I in? Am I into that? Am I going to go all the way? If we have that kind of commitment, it should result in a conviction of living with an assurance of things I have not seen, and it will be reflected in my daily walk with God. And that will lead to the preserving of my soul. Yes?
When I read verse 24, it talks about take up your cross. By their life circumstance, I can't imagine how scary that would be because of what the cross meant to them. It was death and torture. But to us, we kind of look at it as Christ's victory. Yeah. You know, our grace, it's a free gift. But what we do have in common with them, deny himself. That's our idol, is us. You know, and it's hard to defeat us and to follow him. And that's where your faith really comes in, when you have more faith in him than you do in yourself. See, that's the truest definition of faith.
Excellent. These are great, great points. I wanted to get in verse 40, but time's quickly going by. It says, verse 40, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Kind of an inclusive statement. I had to read that several times. It was a little bit tough for me to kind of get into that. But the more you read it, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They, to me, is all these characters that he just wrote. They're not going to be apart from us. It's better for us. In other words, we're going together. The people of faith are going together. We're not going to be left idly here. We're going together as a group of people. And that's why the people gathered all over this world, worshiping the Lord and having faith in the Lord. What are we going to give in exchange for our soul? What is the value of my soul? That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. What is my soul worth to me? And if we can say it's worth everything to me, I can tell you my flesh is being destroyed by day, whether I don't care how many healthy food I eat or whatever, it's still deteriorating, and it's just the way it is. It won't be very long, and I won't be here at best. And so what will live on? God says, I'm a spirit. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. That spirit lives on. He made it, and it will live on somewhere. Where do we want to live? Our spirit will live with Satan if we want to follow him. No problem. You can do that. It's your choice. If we want to live with the God who made the spirit, we can follow him. It's your choice. Any other final comments?
Larry, I think as we try to find application for ourselves in this, you know, it's less likely. We should be willing to, but it's less likely that we're going to be put to death for our faith. But it's that daily conflict that we have to be willing to not only withstand, but almost promote with worldly people around us as we follow the will of God. But it creates conflict with people around us so that it's uncomfortable. It's like, you know, that burr under the saddle, you know? I mean, it's there, and it's there constantly. But we've got to be able to do that because we know that we need to be modeling Christ and proclaiming Christ and continuing to live in such a way that people around us are uncomfortable, and then therefore they may make us uncomfortable.
That can be
all the way into from a work situation to right in your kitchen, you know. So.
But can we count it all joy? Absolutely. It just, you know, when you suffer for Christ, it doesn't get any greater joy. It really doesn't. It's saying, my faith will lead me and guide me through. Thank you very much for your comment.